It's the morning show. I'm Lee Rayburn in for Kate Archer Kent. And a couple of years ago now, UW Stout in Menominee added 122 solar panels to the rooftop of the Merle Price Commons. This month, the university wrapped up installation of its largest solar array to date, adding 560 solar panels to the top of the Jarvis Hall Tech Wing. And it is now getting ready to install hundreds more for its general services building. So, what are the incentives for college campuses to go green? What are the costs? What about the savings? And what are the benefits of a renewable power supply? Be part of this conversation by calling in with your questions or comments, 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. That's 800-642-1234. Thomas Huberty is the Strategic Energy Solutions Advisor for Trane and serves the Upper Midwest. He's based in Minneapolis. Thomas, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me.
And Justin Upaddle is Director of Facilities at UW Stout. Justin, welcome to you.
Hi there. Good morning. Thanks for letting me join.
You bet. And Justin, I'd start with asking you about just describing this latest solar array that has been installed at on campus.
Sure. Thanks. So I guess maybe just a visual of the kind of how it's set up. I mean, picture a large black, flat roof on a commercial style building. You know, it has various mechanical equipment kind of scattered throughout. Around that, all that equipment, you'd see rows of solar panels attached to a frame that slopes kind of towards in the direction of the sun. It's angled for optimal collection of the sun, right? So they don't stand too high off the roof, less than 2 feet high, and they are weighted down to stay in place. So our campus specifically, we're a little limited on ground space that's available. So our alternative is to put solar up on the roof.
And Justin, have these solar panels begun operating yet?
We're close. We're very, very close. So the Jarvis Tech Wing system is ready, except for a couple components. And our general services building, we are near complete with the installation. So this fall, though, we will be up and running.
And once the Jarvis Tech Wing is up and running and the general services building is up and running, what can we say about the energy that will be generated for the UW Stout campus there?
Sure. So the energy generated is fed into our buildings, into all our buildings. So the design has been, the way we've designed this building actually enables for all the electricity to be used on our Stout facilities. So we aren't giving any back to the grid per se, but it will reduce our energy consumption by about 9%, which is a pretty big number.
Yeah. Thomas Huberty, your role in this solar array installation?
Yeah, so we partnered with UW Stout on this project to really help kind of take a holistic look at campus, knowing that one of the big initiatives that they had and really the students had was to add renewable energy into their portfolio. So we helped this figure out with them, work with them on what locations or sites were best suited for the solar from a production standpoint, from a cost standpoint, helped identify those roofs, and then went through working with them on how do you install them, how do you interconnect them into their utility grid, which Justin just mentioned, in the most effective way, and then help with all the modeling on what can you expect from production, maintenance, et cetera, on those. As well as guaranteeing those results for UW Stout after the install.
So, Thomas, you worked with UW Stout to examine roofs to figure the most effective location for new solar panel installations. Specifically here, why place solar panels on the roof of the Jarvis Tech Wing?
I mean, it was one of those locations on campus that had a new roof. The roof was recently redone, so you've got a 40-year life cycle there before you have to replace roofs. The ability to connect to their grid was the most effective or efficient, and it provided a big surface, right? It's one of the larger roofs, so we were able to get a lot of solar panels up there to drive a lot of renewable energy for campus.
We're talking about that, and that is how many solar panels are up there on the Tech Wing now?
Tech Wing is 455,
I believe. 455 modules are up on the Jarvis Tech Wing.
We're talking about the growth of solar energy in Wisconsin. We have UW Stout Director of Facilities Justin Upaddle and Thomas Huberty, Strategic Energy Solutions Advisor for Trane, which builds heating and cooling systems. Justin, let's talk about cost here. UW Stout's latest energy efficiency project cost how much and how is it being funded?
Sure. So the project cost, the project budget for this was just over $2.7 million. And the nice thing is, so there's a 16-year payback on this. And so the savings actually pay for the project. We have, we work through the state, the Department of Administration, and the State Building Commission to proceed with the projects. But that's what's nice about this program is the savings can help us pay for the project.
And Tom, what are the lifespans of these solar panels? How long can they last and what kind of maintenance is required to keep them going?
Yeah, so I mean, solar panels, the industry has evolved quite a bit over the last 30 years. You can easily expect a 25, 30-year life cycle out of the solar panels. And really what happens, it's not, they don't fail, right? They just become a little less productive. So there's still value there going forward. And Lee, can you repeat the other part of your question?
Oh, maintenance.
Yeah, so maintenance-wise, the nice thing about the solar panels, they don't have a lot of moving parts. There are no moving parts, so you don't have a lot of maintenance. And also, when we were designing the systems, you do account for things like soiling. So in Wisconsin, you're going to have snow load, right, occasionally. Yeah. So that's all factored into that production. But nowadays, the way the panels are designed, a good rain will take care of most of the dust and soiling, so you don't have a lot of mechanical maintenance that needs to be done. You do need to inspect them. However, with the technology involved in how that system's designed, it's monitored internally within the system itself to identify, any panel that might be failing or producing below where they should be. So it identifies when and where you need to maybe look at inspecting a little further.
Yeah, Tom, you're up in Minneapolis, so you know about that. We all know about snow. So what happens with solar panels in snow these days? Do they need to be brushed off in heavy snow? How do they operate during the worst of the winter?
Yeah, I mean, if we get one of our 18, 20 inches of snow, they're not going to be producing a lot of energy for a couple of days. There's no two ways around that. For the most part, the snow itself will eventually just melt off and kind of slide off. Justin kind of mentioned how they're designed. They're tilted to maximize the production on those panels. So that tilting, and the sun itself, after a couple of days, it typically will just melt off and slide down and go back to producing normal. And the nice thing about a good snow is it provides a good cleaning.
Yeah. Justin, were there tax credits available for these? Did these solar additions qualify for federal or state credits?
Yeah, they do qualify for some federal credits. Some of that's still kind of being navigated through the state process. Probably the most immediate recognized savings, though, really kind of came through the Focus on Energy program. I mean, there's almost $100,000 of savings in that right up front for us.
And you said that about 16 years to make the money back to pay for itself, and these solar panels will have a lifespan of 30 years or so?
Correct. That's correct. Yep. Yeah.
Justin Upaddle is Director of Facilities at UW Stout. Thomas Huberty is the Strategic Solutions Advisor for Trane Energy Services, which serves the Upper Midwest. And you can join the conversation with your questions or comments about solar energy, the technology of the solar panels, the advancement of the technology we've seen, 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Lee Rayburn, and we're talking with Justin Upaddle, Director of Facilities at UW Stout in Menominee, and Tom Huberty, the Strategic Energy Solutions Advisor for Trane, a heating and cooling manufacturer. He's based in Minneapolis, and we're looking at UW Stout's commitment to being carbon neutral by 2050 and the energy infrastructure that can help them reach that goal. And you can call in with your questions or thoughts about what's happening in our renewable energy infrastructure across the state or on the UW Stout campus. Join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas at WPR.org. So, Justin, about the campus's goal, UW Stout's energy projects are part of this goal to get carbon neutral by 2050. Along with the solar panel installations, what are some of the other upgrades that are being made on campus?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we have the solar. There's a few other things that were included in this project specifically. Numerous lighting upgrades to LED light fixtures in four of our buildings. We try to pick the buildings with the most use, with the longest hours use, to try to capture the most savings. So in addition to that, a lot of building envelope weatherization improvements, right, to help us basically reduce the energy needed to just heat a building in the first place. And then in our sports and fitness center, we threw in, installed in some de-stratification fans, again, to help reduce the energy needed to heat that building in such a large volume space.
So where are you on your approach to being carbon neutral by 2050? Is it an achievable goal for the UW Stout campus?
Yeah, you know, there's a lot to do, right? There's always opportunities for us to step forward. At Stout, you know, some of the big steps we're taking, we have a lot of sustainability committees. We have a sustainability steering committee. We have an energy committee, waste reduction work group. Even the students, they have a Stout Student Association. They have their own sustainability council, all focused on just ways, initiatives we can take to get to that goal. We've developed a sustainability action plan, provide some framework about initiatives that we have on campus, you know, things like that.
And Tom Huberty,
you know, maybe the other thing to say is,
yeah,
this is one project, right?
Right.
This isn't our last project on campus. We'll get this one finished and we'll start discussing future opportunities, because there's always still opportunities with more LED lighting retrograde upgrades, you know, improving our building envelopes, more solar, that kind of thing.
So this will be an ongoing process. This isn't something that has, while an achievable goal in 2050, this is something that will continue to move forward to 2050 and beyond, I would imagine then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, this is something we can't stop.
So, Tom Huberty, why is improving the quality of existing buildings, the energy infrastructure, renewable energy infrastructure, why has this become a priority for Trane?
Well, I think for Trane, you know, when you look at Trane Technologies as a commercial brand, being a part of the Trane Technologies family, you know, Trane Technologies is a pure climate innovator. That's their goal, with Trane focusing on kind of the built environment and then Thermo King working on the transportation side. And if you follow the legislation that's happening, the codes that are around us, and really where industry is going, when you look at industry and where they're making their investments, you know, the thoughts about electrification, building enhancements, it's coming and it's going to be a requirement, you know, as we go forward. So I think people like Justin and UW Stout, it's a process, not an event. Mm-hmm. The whole travel towards decarbonization. You know, they're in an environment where they have buildings that they have to, these buildings are occupied. They're using them to teach students. They have to maintain, create environments that are suitable to learning, that are safe, while also looking towards the future, because the decisions made today, you know, the solar panels we talked about, they're going to be there for 30 years, right? So you have to plan ahead the decisions you make today. You know, what is that world going to look like in 30 years time? And I think taking advantage of driving efficiency as a first step on that decarbonization journey is important. You know, when you look at where can we reduce the amount of energy that we're having to use to heat or cool our spaces or light the spaces in this case as well. And then looking at what can we electrify where we can maximize our benefit for renewable energy like solar, you know, tackling refrigerants and global warming potential within that, you know, and then really right sizing going forward, various renewable sources of energy to help drive and sustain those buildings over time.
So, Tom, from your perspective as a strategic energy solutions advisor for Trane, you're looking at all of these projects as investments. You see things where they're going, but also where they'll be 30 years down the road. Is that accurate?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, public and private organizations are really taking a look at, you know, where will we be in the future? Where do we need to be? You know, because there's a dollar sign to this whole thing too, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be responsible with your resources, finding ways. This project from campus's perspective is cash flow neutral. You know, the 16-year payback is a guideline from the state, a very conservative estimate. One thing it doesn't account for on the solar is any utility cost increases, right? So when the local utility provider raises their rates, that's not factored into that solar production. So, yeah, as you've seen, you know, over the last couple of years, there have been a push as utilities look to become more green in their production as well. There have been some cost increases that customers are having to absorb, all of us.
That's Tom Huberty from Trane, and also joining us, Justin Upaddle, Facilities Director at UW-Stout, with their latest solar arrays coming online. And you can join the conversation as well at 1-800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or ideas at WPR.org. Let's go to Jane in Ashland this morning. Jane, good morning.
Good morning. My question for the speakers is, I know they say the batteries last for 20 or 30 years, but as all batteries do, they lose some of their power. And what plans are there to get rid of all of those batteries once they're no longer useful?
Well, I think it was the solar panels that lasted 20 to 30 years, but what about the battery packs that store the energy, Tom? What do we know about them, and what happens at the end of their life?
Yeah, and, you know, on this project, we are not using any battery storage. So there, that wasn't a part of this project. Campus is in a position where they're able to consume all of that energy as it's produced right within their own ecosystem. Yeah, well, when you look at renewable energy components, whether it's solar panels, batteries, there have been tremendous increases in the productivity of those items over the last decade. You know, there, and as solar panels or batteries, as they become, reach their end of life, you know, there is a market, that circular economy, that really, when you look at the legislation recently, was really, that's what it was driving, is how do you make these systems cost effective to first build, but then how do you drive that circular economy? So there is technology. You think of a solar panel, they're by weight, they're about 75% glass. We've been recycling glass for years. A lot of the components are aluminum, copper, plastic, all of which is readily recyclable. And there are processes to chemically extract any of the metals within those precious metals to be able to reuse that. And even by the end of this decade, the Department of Energy estimates that's going to be a $450 million industry, the recycling of those. So that's an opportunity to commercialize that, which will make it much more attainable and functional for customers like UW-Stout.
Justin, a couple of years ago, more than 100 solar panels were installed at the top of the university's commons building. A student-run committee funded the effort and inspired the university's current solar effort, according to school officials. How is the solar panel array, the latest one on the tech wing, how does it affect campus culture beyond sustainability as you see it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Thanks. In general, this type of project just generates excitement, right? It promotes sustainability, both fiscally and environmentally. So both of which are part of our Focus 2030 goals. And so you're starting to see, you know, solar panels around our area a little more, right? So it still feels kind of new. So there's excitement there. Like you said, the students showed their commitment with their installations. They really demonstrated their commitment, which then said, you know, it's our turn. And so, but again, it's more than that. It's meeting our Focus 2030 sustainability goals. It also speaks a lot to our polytechnic focus, right? These projects allow us to lead by example. They also provide opportunities to educate our students with you know, our real-world infrastructure and building systems while saving energy at the same time. So there's really a connection there with workforce development, using the systems we have on campus to educate our students. That's the applied learning that we're trying to achieve here. So that part of it too, we have informational kiosks on campus that will be installed that are going to help inform people in our buildings about what the system is, how it works, what the components are. So they understand how it works, what it can be used for. Again, it's getting that excitement, getting that education out there about renewable energy systems.
Justin, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And Thomas Huberty, thanks to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Justin Upadl is the Director of Facilities at UW-Stout. Thomas Huberty, Strategic Energy Solutions Advisor for Trane. Company provides renewable energy solutions for homes and buildings around the world. I'm Lee Rayburn, and you're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.